You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Monday edition, off-season mode. But before we can figure out everything the 49ers need to do in the offseason, free agency draft, hiring assistant coaches, if some are to leave, maybe some trades that could present themselves. Gotta do some self-scouting. So let's grade the 49ers 2020 season, try to separate some parts, sort of an exit interview, self-scout of the 2020 49ers. We'll go position by position, evaluate performance in 2020 and what is needed in 2021. And we'll start today with the coaching staff. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. If you're just joining me for the first time, I'm Brian Peacock, your host daily here on the pod. Football analyst, did some writing, mostly in radio. The audio format is my favorite. I do another football show as well right here on the network, the Peacock and Williamson NFL show with former college and pro scout Matt Williamson. We break down the entire league every day. Just talking 49ers here on this show. Done some work as an analyst at Pro Football Focus. Used to write about fantasy at RotoWire. Worked in radio for a long time at KMBR, the sports leader, the 49ers flagship for a lot of that. Behind the scenes, not on air, although I did go on air a little bit. Did a high school football show at one point. Was a traffic reporter most recently. That's my background. That's me. Welcome to the show. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I'm going to change things up for this week. We'll see how it goes. Maybe it's something that'll stick all off season long. But in an effort to sort of break things up when I do the mailbag segments, I want to do one mailbag segment every episode instead of just one show per week that's all the mailbag. Because I get different questions that filter in at different times of the week. And sometimes some questions are more topical for one subject and not for another. And I think it'll give me a better way to get through the off season and feature more of your questions and some really good ones that sometimes get lost under the avalanche of questions. Like today, when I went to record this podcast, I shot out a tweet and I love how many people interact. It's so awesome. But I sent out a tweet at BD Peacock and I said, let's have some questions. I walked downstairs and there's already 20 questions replying to that one tweet. So obviously I can't ever get to everybody's questions, but it is really awesome to see how many people respond and how many people listen to the show and how many people want to get involved with the conversation. So that's always really cool. So I want to hit as many of those questions and as many topics as I can throughout the offseason, because there's the NFL never sleeps. We know that, but there's just an insane amount of topics and so many different directions and so many different angles we can cover on the show. And I love hearing different angles from listeners out there and directions that some episodes can go. And sometimes one tweet I'll get from a listener becomes a whole episode. So keep those coming, even when I'm not asking for them. Whenever something pops into your brain, just tag me at BDPeacock on Twitter and we'll chat about it this offseason and what an offseason it should be. Big topic of the week with 49ers fans and really around the NFL is the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston. Will that go nuclear? Will that just sort of figure itself out and cooler heads prevail and Deshaun Watson stick with the Texans? I have a feeling that's the way it's going to go. But some questions about that. We will dive into that later. But let's talk coaching staff. First up, evaluations of the 2020 season. What could improve in 2021? What will most definitely be changing, it looks like, with the coaching staff, which is a big one. There's been a lot of continuity and some stability with the 49ers coaching staff for the last 4 years, considering what they went through a few years prior. So I guess that's positive sign number one, is people aren't getting fired and actually coaches might be getting hired away from the 49ers. So essentially, when it comes to the coaching staff, it's hard to segment it more than just let's grade Kyle Shanahan and his work with the offense. Let's grade Robert Saleh, his work with the 49ers defense this season, and not evaluate them versus expectations coming into the year, because we know there's too many factors and there's too many things that went down in 2020 to use that scale. It's a 6-10 season, hugely disappointing, but maybe the 49ers coaching staff did a lot better job than you would expect for a 6-10 team. So we'll utilize that context of what we know now and grade those coaches on both sides of the ball, starting with the offense and head coach slash offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. Now, I know Kyle Shanahan has some say on the defensive side of the ball, too, and maybe even a lot more sway on defense and what kind of schemes are in place, particularly during the offseason when they're trying to figure out what they want to do. We've seen Robert Saleh's scheme change a lot on defense. I think Kyle Shanahan has a ton of input there, and I would like to find out actually more of the inner workings there. But just focusing on the offense under Kyle Shanahan here is what we're grading Kyle for. And even taking out his, you know, he's also heavily involved with the roster. Kyle Shanahan's the top of the pyramid, but we'll take the front office part of his job out. We'll take the overseeing the defense part of his job out. I just want to talk about Kyle Shanahan and grade him based on what the offense did. Did the offense play at or above expectations, knowing they were going to lose their starting quarterback for most of the year? And I want to take those things out of the equation. I mean, I guess not completely. I lied. He's the head coach, so the overall performance of the team has to be a lot on Kyle Shanahan's shoulders. But I've been somewhat critical of Kyle the Scout since the 49ers' new regime took over in 2017. There's been some really bad misses for the Shanahan guys, and we've talked a lot about, you know, the Dante Pettises and Joe Williams literally never took a snap for the team. And CJ Beathard's and moving up for those guys. Maybe the 49ers turn the corner because it looks like they have a hit in Brandon Ayuk. So that's a good sign. And I got a little bit worried. It's like, oh, they're trading up for another wide receiver. Is this guy going to bust now? Even though I really liked Brandon Ayuk and I had him as a late first round player, and he went, you know, just a little bit higher than about five spots higher than I had him graded out before the season. Still didn't like trading up for him at the time. And Brandon Ayuk looks like he's going to be a fantastic player for the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan was absolutely right, thinking he was a great fit. Is he the best wide receiver in the draft, as Kyle Shanahan thought? I don't know about that, because Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and a lot of other receivers is a good class, and a lot of guys are going to have something to say about that, and it usually takes a while. So we'll find out in a couple of years. We'll check back in on that comment from Shanahan about Ayuk being the best. But he is absolutely a good fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense, and we'll see how that grows with Debo in year two. And I have been a little bit critical about the players in the quarterback room when Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard are playing and playing poorly. And some Shanahan apologists, not that he needs to have an apologist because he's a really good coach. The 49ers are lucky to have Kyle Shanahan, so it's not that. But they're saying, but look, he has to play these bad quarterbacks. And my response to that is like, he chose those quarterbacks, right? That's his doing, is those quarterbacks being there. So I want to take that aspect of it out and just pretend that he didn't have any say. This roster was thrown upon him. How did it perform? And I want to look at a mix of traditional stats and some Football Outsiders DVOA, which is a really good number for encompassing, you know, one side of the ball or the other, and some PFF grades and just, you know, the old eye test. What did the 49ers look like this year? And when they're on, when Kyle Shanahan is on his game, it's a beautifully orchestrated offense and receivers are running free down the field. Big holes and gouging teams with big runs. When it's not looking great, I've used the analogy before of taking a wrong turn at a crowded restaurant. When you're looking for the bathroom, you end up in the service elevator instead. And you get inside and you realize your mistake, but you can't leave because there's a busboy in there with a big stack of dirty plates that's teetering about to fall over. And then when the doorway's blocked by the delivery guy, the beer delivery with a keg on a dolly with a bunch of cases of beer, and you slip by that, and then you run into a server carrying a hot plate around the corner. It's just a cluster F of moving parts in a small area. That's what it feels like sometimes when Shanahan's offense is not working. And I felt that version of Kyle's offense way too often in 2020. And one of the big things, whether it's Garoppolo's limited action or Nick Mullins, see a lot of that same turnover, that same interception, that, you know, slant on the front side and throwing the ball to a linebacker who's hanging out in a zone on the backside of the play. We've seen it so many times with both quarterbacks, and I'm wondering what's going on with that. And actually, I thought about it in the Browns-Steelers game. Ben Roethlisberger threw that exact same interception, and I wonder if there's any listeners out there that were watching that game and thinking, hey, there's the Jimmy G, Nick Mullins interception, and is that a Shanahan interception? Is that something that's a part of the offense that could get coached out, and he's not doing a good job of conveying, don't throw it to the linebacker who's standing there in the middle of the field, or is it just something where the quarterbacks are missing something very simple in those reads and those plays? But about the only other thing I can say bad about Kyle Shanahan's offense is when it's working well, it's great to leak a fullback into the flats and have nobody within 15 yards of him. You know, that's like one of the Shanahan specials, the Y leak or the F leak. But when you're seeing other teams around the league slinging the ball all over the place and making huge plays down the field, it's like, oh man, like that leak doesn't look as fun when another team is putting up crazy points and lighting up the scoreboard. So I would like to see more of that aspect in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And I think that's more of a front office thing than it is a Kyle Shanahan thing. If they get a big improvement at quarterback, I think that would be super fun. And that's not an anti-Jimmy take. That's just a realistic take of, look what Matt LaFleur's offense looks like right now with a lot of similar concepts, and he's got a Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron Rodgers running it. And look at Kyle Shanahan's offense in 2016 with Matt Ryan running it, throwing to Julio Jones. And in week 17 this year, we had C.J. Beathard throwing to Kendrick Bourne and Richie James. So obviously a lot of work to do with the roster, adding talent, getting the talent that is currently on the roster healthy, and then try again in 2021. Let's pause real quick here and dive into some of these stats a little bit and grade Kyle Shanahan, knowing what they went through with the injuries and not knocking him, or Robert Saleh either for that matter, for the talent they were left with to coach on Sundays. Man, looking at some of these matchups next week in the playoffs, Brady versus Breeze for the first time ever in the playoffs, we've got McVay versus LaFleur, we get an Oklahoma versus Texas Tech rematch that was about 150 points and 1,000 yards with Baker Mayfield versus Patrick Mahomes. So that'll be a fun one. I don't think there'll be quite as many points put up on the scoreboard as it was during their college matchup. But who knows? The Browns just put up 48 on the Steelers, the best defense in the NFL this year. But one thing all those matchups have in common is you can find them at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's talk DVOA a little bit. For those of you not familiar with DVOA, go to Football Outsiders to learn more about it. It's defense adjusted value over average. That's the VOA part, value over average. So we're talking about percentages here as the number that gets spit out of the computer when it comes to DVOA. What percent were you better than average after being adjusted? And surprisingly, for a 6-10 team, the 49ers finished with the 11th highest total DVOA overall in the entire NFL. There was actually a pretty big gap from San Francisco and the top 10 teams above them. The 49ers were 5.4% above average. The next team, the Colts, were 14.3% above average. So a nice little jump there. And all 10 of those teams ahead of them were in the playoffs this year. Some of them no longer in the playoffs. And all of those teams above them in total DVOA had at least 10 wins on the season. Separating defense and offense DVOA, you can really see which unit carried that 49ers DVOA number, and the offense was in the negative side of things, negative 2.4% versus average. And again, the DVOA is adjusted for opponent and weather and things like that. 20th overall in the NFL offensively for the 49ers. And what would you say personnel-wise the 49ers had with all the injuries, with what they had going on at quarterback? Were they a top 20 team offense depth chart-wise in the NFL? Feels about right. They were probably in the bottom half for sure once you factored in all the injuries that happened on the team. I mean, heart and soul player like George Kittle, missing him for as long as he was out this year. Jimmy Garoppolo obviously was a huge, and some people hate Jimmy G, some people love Jimmy G. The 49ers win a lot of games when Jimmy Garoppolo's in there, and he's a hell of a lot better than Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard. I think that much at least is clear, even if you think the 49ers could upgrade over where Jimmy G is. They missed not having him in there, clearly. All right, and if you don't like DVOA, let's look at PFF. And really a lot of the same when it comes to Pro Football Focus grades. They were very mediocre. They graded out as the 14th overall offense in the NFL. Both grades were below the 14th best teams in the NFL when it separated run and pass. They actually only graded out as the 28th best passing offense in the NFL as far as PFF grades go, and their run grade on offense was 16. Run blocking, though, the PFF guys actually loved the 49ers offensive line this year. They had the second highest run block grade in the league, and their offensive line overall was, I think, 9 overall, a top 10 offensive line in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. I think they were a lot better running the ball than pass blocking, and I think that's clear, and I think the grades are somewhat accurate and bear that out. So I don't know. None of these grades, DVOA or PFF or whatever, or gospel, but I like to use those sites and use an extra set of eyes and an extra set of statistics done by smart people that are generally well-respected that can back you up with what you see on the field. And I think all of these things come together with, yeah, that was a pretty accurate depiction with both those sites of what the 49ers offense looked like this year. So what does that mean for Kyle Shanahan? Did he elevate the talent he had to work with every Sunday? I think in a lot of ways he did. Just looking at raw yardage here, total yards on offense, the 49ers ranked 15 in the league, 12th ranked passing offense as far as yards go, and rushing yards, again, 15th in the NFL with 1,889 rushing yards. Yards per carry, 16th, so again, right in the middle of the league. Man, Derrick Henry outrushed the 49ers' entire team. Jeff Wilson led the 49ers in rushing with 600 yards. I mean, that's not fun. The 49ers, yards per carry-wise, though, were pretty good. And, I mean, Mostert was 5 yards per carry. Jeff Wilson was 4.8 yards per carry. Those are the guys you really want carrying the rock. McKinnon was sub-4. Hasty was sub-4. Tevin Coleman, 1.9 per carry on his 28 attempts this year. Jeez. So, obviously, when the good players were in there, things were happening in the run game. And obviously, we know what happened with the passing game and all the interceptions and all the turnovers. Your best player, George Kittle, only plays 8 games and still was your third leading receiver with 634 receiving yards. So when it's all said and done, around league average offense for the 49ers, in some ways just a hair over, in some ways a little bit under league average, I think, roster-wise, though. They're throwing out backups everywhere. They've got undrafted guys in there. They were missing their best player. They were also missing their quarterback. I think for Kyle Shanahan to have coordinated that offense in a way that they were even league average was quite a job, and I think the 49ers did elevate under Kyle Shanahan. I would say they didn't elevate quite the way the defense did, with Robert Saleh playing above the level they probably should have been playing, but it's hard to fault the offensive coordinator version of Kyle Shanahan, and I would give him a solid B for the job he was able to do under the circumstances. As a head coach, maybe that drops a little bit. Look, they were a 6-10 team, and you have to factor in so many other things, including the roster construction. But just as the guy overseeing the offense, getting the troops ready on game day, it's hard to put all the blame on Kyle Shanahan. A B, B minus, right in there. Some people will say, nah, he deserves an A because he's the smartest, best offensive coach in the league. And while that might be the case, they didn't perform that well, and I can't go any higher. And some people will probably say he deserves an F because the 49ers only won 6 games. But obviously, I think we know some context and some circumstances as to why. Now, what about the guy in charge of the other side of the ball? Robert Saleh, 49ers defensive coordinator. What kind of a grade does he deserve for the job he did in the 2020 season? Definitely can't put roster construction on him. Definitely can't put the injuries on him, including losing the best player on his side of the ball. At least Kyle got 8 games out of George Kittle. Robert Saleh got 1.5 games out of Nick Bosa. And let's start there, because pass rush is so important to an NFL defense. Kerry Hyder was a bright spot out of nowhere, thankfully showed up and gave the 49ers 8.5 sacks. The next most sacks on the 49ers team was 3.5. Eric Armstead, 3.5 sacks on the year. DJ Jones and Deion Jordan had 3 sacks apiece. Jordan Willis, I mean, those guys, Deion Jordan and Jordan Willis, were claimed off the scrap heap, and they were the 4th and 5th leading sack getters for the 49ers. And after that, it was defensive backs. K'Wan Williams had 2. Javon Kinlaw had 1.5 sacks. Fred Warner got a sack in the last game of the season, I think it was, for his only sack of the year. So, I mean, just the pass rush production was still really bad for the 49ers. Luckily, they got a Kerry Hyder 8.5 sack performance this year out of nowhere to really give the 49ers any semblance of a pass rush this year. And we saw how bad this defense was playing in 2018 when they didn't have that edge rush. And it took such a big leap last year with Dee Ford and Nick Bosa. And obviously they had DeForest Buckner, who they lost this year. So a lot lost on this 49ers 2020 defense. In a lot of ways, I think Robert Saleh's coaching job is as impressive as when he led the top defense in the league last year. Looking at defense DVOA, the 49ers, a top six unit in the NFL, ranked sixth with the minus 9.9% value over average. Now, defensively, it's opposite of offense, so you want a negative number. The higher negative number you have, the better. Pittsburgh Steelers, best defense in the league this year, according to DVOA, with a negative 20.2% value over average. So the Niners, sixth best defense in the league, according to DVOA. Looking at the PFF grades, they also liked the 49ers defense. The defense overall was the eighth highest graded defense in the NFL, according to PFF. Run grade, they were 11, and a very good tackling team, sixth best tackling team in the NFL, according to PFF. As a pass rushing team, they were not good, 29th in the NFL, and that was with Kerry Hyder's 8.5 sacks. But as I mentioned, after Hyder, dropped off quite a bit, not a lot of production there from pass rushers along that 49ers defensive line. Coverage grades were really good for the 49ers, though. The third best coverage team in the NFL, third best coverage grade, according to PFF here. So all in all, a really good unit. Robert Saleh's unit did some serious work this year. Just raw numbers for the team this year. The 49ers were fifth overall in yards allowed, fourth overall in first downs allowed. Niners D was the fourth best in third down percentage, allowing only 35.5% of third downs to be converted. Fourth in passing yards allowed, and seventh in rushing yards allowed. And that was with the offense continually putting the defense in bad spots. Short field position. Actually, and here's a great number that illustrates that. The fifth fewest yards allowed on defense in the NFL, but only 17th fewest points allowed in the NFL. And they were top 10 red zone defense, too. That's a testament to all that bad field position the 49ers defense was put in by the 49ers offense. So there's a good reason Robert Saleh is getting head coach interviews right now. I don't know if he'll get one of those jobs or not, but he did a fantastic job running the 49ers defense, had the team playing hard. They never quit, even when they were down big in games, and were really productive despite losing so many important, impactful players for either big stretches or almost all of the 2020 season. Robert Saleh gets an A. Give that man an A for the job he did this year, and in some ways, more impressive than having the number one defense in the NFL last year. Coming up, your questions. We'll talk a little Deshaun Watson, which is a subject I have a feeling is going to be very popular until that is resolved, and that might not happen all the way into training camp and into the season next year. Some draft stuff, questions on free agents to be Trent Williams and Kendrick Bourne next. Man, I really love putting Built Bars to use. I talked a lot last week about how I love having them in my car. Have one in your car, especially if you're on a little bit of a drive, a road trip, or even a long commute. You don't pull over and get a burger and fries and throw down 1,000 calories. 130 calories in the salted caramel flavor of Built Bar. Just have a Built Bar. It's got this protein, 17 grams, that will tide you over. I guarantee that will tide you over. Have a Built Bar. They taste fantastic. So you will look forward to eating one, and it will tide you over, and it will give you that protein, and it will help you out if you need to do some heavy lifting, whether it's figuratively or literally later. If you're doing a workout or if you're golfing, slip one in your golf bag. Perfect time to have a Built Bar to start the back nine. You'll feel good about it. It's not heavy, and who knows, might even improve your golf game. Built Bars are high in protein, high in fiber, but low calorie, low sugar, and covered in 100% real delicious chocolate. Soft and easy to chew, Built Bar is great for the health conscious folks out there. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. And best of all, you can go to builtbar.com and get 20% off with promo code Locked On. Go to builtbar.com, promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order of Built Bars. Before we get to Brandon's question here, and by the way, thank you everybody for all the questions I'm seeing. The latest on Deshaun Watson. I'm sure tomorrow there will be even more on Deshaun Watson, but Chris Mortensen said reports about Deshaun Watson's unhappiness with the Houston Texans are accurate, and sources close to the quarterback say he is still angry about the team's insensitivity to social justice, including hiring practices, after the franchise failed to interview Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy this past week. Sources say Watson could play hardball with the Texans about a trade. His new $156 million contract includes a no-trade clause, but informed speculation from a source is that he would consider the Miami Dolphins, in which Tua Tagovailoa and additional compensation goes to Houston. Mortensen goes on to say, let the denials begin, but it will be an off-season story, a puzzle of sorts that promises some drama. That is from Mort Report, and Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports adding to that, saying, had a few execs text me a similar trade concept regarding Texans should the situation with Watson go nuclear. Jimmy G plus several high picks for Watson. Casario Jimmy G reunion gets Watson out of the AFC, kind of like how Belichick wouldn't trade Jimmy within the AFC. That from LaConfora, who's he's a newsbreaker, but he's not as good. If that came from Schefter, it would have a little bit more weight. Let's put it that way. But there you go, 49ers fans. A bona fide, checkmarked NFL reporter has now officially linked the 49ers in a trade with the Houston Texans for Deshaun Watson. So to repeat that story, this is the Jason LaConfora tweet. He said, had a few execs text me a similar trade concept regarding the Texans and Jimmy G and that kind of stuff. Kind of far out there for me to get my brain around that and believe that that's something that actually will happen. It's not impossible. So many things would have to come together. Obviously, what he mentions here, Casario, if they hire Josh McDaniels is the head coach or something. They love Jimmy G. Jimmy G would have to waive his no trade and want to go to now an empty team in Houston. They would have to not want to send him to the AFC. The 49ers would still have to give up a ton. So again, not impossible. And we have some links and some speculation, at least from quote unquote execs and being reported out there. Completely unlikely, but not impossible. A lot of things would have to fall in place for something like Watson to San Francisco to actually happen. But Brandon on Twitter doesn't even care. Doesn't want it to happen. Brandon says, not a question, but a comment. Squash the Watson chatter. It would cost way too much. I'm riding with a healthy Jimmy with Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, Mostert. Take Surtain at 12, talking about Patrick Surtain of Alabama, cornerback. We are right back in the hunt. Remember, in 2019, Jimmy had better stats than Watson while in a run-heavy offense, and Watson had D-hop. A couple of things there. One, yeah, their passing numbers were it's almost identical, actually. I went back yesterday and looked at those, and I was surprised by how close their numbers were in 2019. A completion percentage, passing yards, touchdown to interception ratio, all very similar. But then you have to factor in, okay, well, what did we see from Jimmy G the rest of the time? What have we seen from Deshaun Watson the rest of the time, including his nearly 5,000 passing yards this year? Again, and much improved touchdown to interception ratio without DeAndre Hopkins. Then you factor in health. Then you factor in Deshaun Watson's running ability and ability to get out of the pocket and do some of those things. And then you factor in his age. So, I mean, he's much, much, much more valuable. I think he's clearly better now and in a trajectory to continue to get better at only 25 years old. The question is how much? What's the cost to get better from Jimmy G to Deshaun Watson? Because I don't think there should be any argument that they're going to be as good as each other. Deshaun Watson's better and a more valuable player, more valuable quarterback. Or could you do both potentially and trade only and use only one first round pick on Garoppolo's replacement? Keep Garoppolo, develop a really athletic, big-armed, potential star quarterback behind him, and potentially get the next Deshaun Watson without that contract. So there's a lot of ways to go about this, and it's going to be fun to follow. Will Watson even become available? I have a feeling he won't, and the Texans won't even be listening to offers, and they'll have some conversations and get this thing squashed with him. But until then, it's going to be out there, and Deshaun Watson would be really fun in Kyle Shanahan's offense. But it's not going to happen. But it could. But it won't. CNicky93 says, what's the likelihood of Jimmy starting next year for the Niners in percentage? Okay, I'm going to throw a percentage on it. It's over 50%. It's well over. It's probably a lot higher percentage than anybody who doesn't want Jimmy back wants to admit. It's very high percentage that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be back, in my opinion. I will say an 84% chance that Jimmy Garoppolo is back as the starting quarterback for the Niners in 2021. To Henry on Twitter, he says, do you expect Trent Williams to get paid more than Bakhtiari? That's a good question. Right now, Bakhtiari signed that big contract and makes him the highest paid offensive tackle in the NFL. Trent Williams is going to absolutely be working on that deal at least and probably be asking for more. So that'll be the ask from the agent this year with salary cap. Will that hurt Williams' ability to get that? He can't be franchise tagged, so he can talk to multiple teams, which is where a lot of bargaining and big money contracts come from when you start getting agents talking to multiple teams and getting bid up in that regard. Williams said he wants to come back to the 49ers, but he's not necessarily going to take a discount to do so. It could get big. It could get big. And the Packers weren't really bidding against anybody, right? When they signed him, it's just his, their own guy. They signed him before he was actually hit free agency. He wasn't on the open market when they signed that deal. So I would imagine he's going to get a lot of money, and it'll probably be at or just above what Bakhtiari got, at least per year. I don't lengthwise. With Trent Williams' age, and maybe that'll keep his total dollar value down, but I think per year he'll be right there. Another 49ers free agent that doesn't really get talked about a lot, wide receiver Kendrick Bourne. Jeffrey says, I'd prefer to keep him, but who could be a wide receiver 3-4 upgrade over Kendrick Bourne? That's tough. That's where the contracts are going to start to get difficult because you want to spend on the top talent on your team, like Trent Williams, right? Well, all of a sudden, if you're up against the cap, are you going to spend an extra mil or two to have a veteran player or just replace that guy with a basically free rookie? And I could see the 49ers going into the draft and adding some more players at wide receiver and allowing Richie James to compete there to be the number three guy and bring Trent Taylor back one more time, see what he's got. And letting Kendrick Bourne walk. Now, Kendrick Bourne, I think, is probably more valuable to the 49ers than other teams. I don't think he's going to walk out as a free agent and make a lot of money either. So he might be just so cheap once he does see what offers or lack of offers are out there for him. And knowing that he knows the system and has some trust here in-house that he can be the number three guy, he's probably not going to be signing to be the number three wide receiver anywhere else in the NFL. So if you're Kendrick Bourne, this is probably the best place for you with the San Francisco 49ers, and there's not going to be a lot of money out there, so for that reason, you probably will be back, and the 49ers will just have a little bit more competition at the bottom of the roster, and he'll have to compete a little bit with Richie James and some of those guys, but the competition will be for the guys below them who could eventually replace them, but probably not right away. That's the way I see that. Going at wide receiver. They've got to add talent. They've got to add someone who's a dynamic kick returner to the equation to push Richie James. They've got to just keep adding more talent there. So late in the draft, I expect offensive linemen, kick return types, maybe a running back even, safety depth, those type of positions on day three of the draft. Okay, that's going to do it for today. I see a lot of good questions out there, but I like this new format. I'll be able to come back and hit some more tomorrow, and I'll hit some more the day after that. We'll be talking with Nick on Winky Wednesday, and got some other guests lined up for coming days and weeks. And keep those questions coming to me at BD Peacock on Twitter, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.